Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together here in the house of God to worship Him again this morning. For a message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 37. We'd like to look at one verse here. I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson and walking worthy of Christ, walking worthy of God in our lives. And as I was thinking about a message, my thoughts went to the thought of anger. And I know it's mentioned in Ephesians, and we'll go there eventually. But I'd like to look at verse 8 here of chapter 37 of Psalms. It says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Now, if you go back to Ephesians, to our text of our Sunday school lesson, in verse 26 and 27, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." He puts that little phrase in there. He says, "Neither give place to the devil." And then back here in Psalms, he says, "Forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Our world today is full of anger. It's full of and why? It is people that are trying to deal with stress, with anxiety, and it comes out in all sorts of ways this morning. People are doing evil all around in society. They are becoming angry. There's people that are being killed this very minute because of anger issues. Anger is an emotion. It's something you feel. It's something all of us have. Is anger a bad thing? Is it something that's just off the charts? It's wrong. Why did God give it to you? What is anger? If it's something that's so wrong, why did God put it in there? Why did God make it part of your makeup? The anger, or what we would consider anger today, there are three types of anger. First of all, there's aggressive anger. And then there's passive anger. And there's assertive anger. But there's also controlled anger. Anger in your life is a motivator. It's what motivates you to do something. It's your motivation behind the scenes for you to do something. And in it being controlled can make great success in your life. It being controlled by the power of God. Listen to this. 66% of traffic fatalities are caused by aggressive driving. 37% of aggressive driving incidents involve a firearm. A total of 12,610 injuries and 218 murders have been attributed to road rage over a 7-year period in the United States. Males under the age of 19 are the most likely to exhibit road rage. It's proven that 94% of traffic accidents are caused by driver error. Aggressive driving played a role in 56% of fatal accidents between 2003 and 2007. Were you ever the victim of road rage? Did you ever get yelled at on the road? You ever get cut off because of angry drivers? You know, sometimes I've already been yelled at, and things like that. But you know, people, there are so many people. These statistics just kind of boggled me a little bit. But there are so many angry people on the road today. You know, it doesn't seem like it just takes much in a life to, you know, just fly off the handle. Give somebody a piece of your mind. Aggressive anger is a violent anger. It's something that comes out in just in violence. We see a lot of aggressive anger today. Shootings and so forth. Beatings. Aggressive, just violent, vicious anger. We'll look at some of those in the Bible. I want to look at seven men in the Bible became angry, and I want and think about that. Passive anger is someone who uses passive aggression may feel angry, resentful, or frustrated, but they act neutral, pleasant, or even cheerful. They then find indirect ways to show how they really feel. Passive aggressive aggression isn't mental illness, but people with mental health conditions may act that way. You know, I think that one can come a lot closer to us here this morning. I talked about gossip a little bit this morning, and sometimes we can act nice and whatever, but when we get behind a person's back, then we can say anything we want, we can do anything we want, we can act any way we want. And it's not right. It's anger. Anger is in so many ways. What causes anger? And these are things I've got offline. But it says, what causes anger? A leading cause of anger is a person's environment, stress, financial issues, abuse, poor social or family situations, and overwhelming requirements on your time. And energy can all contribute to your formation of anger. As with disorders such as alcoholism, anger issues may be more prevalent in individuals who were raised by parents with the same disorder. Genetics and your body abilities to deal with certain chemicals or hormones also play a role in how you deal with anger. If your brain doesn't react normally to serotonin, you might find it more difficult to manage your emotions. Now, the reason this morning that our world struggles with violent anger is because they are not using the Word of God to deal with their anger. They are not using the Word of God to control their anger. Here's another thing I came across. It says 82% of drivers in the U.S. admit to having road rage or driving aggressively at least once in the past year. 59% of drivers report showing anger by honking. 45% of drivers report changing lanes without signaling. 42% of drivers claimed they've yelled or cursed loudly at another driver. 38% said they've used rude or obscene gestures against other drivers. And these are the leading causes for road rage. And I was just kind of reading statistics on road rage, but these are the leading causes for road rage, and that is tailgating, distracted driving, and getting cut off. And you find that. You find people as you drive down the road, if you do any amount of driving, you see it happen. And you see people becoming angry at other people for they fly off the handle simply because they can't handle the smallest thing, and it's all because of probably a lot of other things in their lives. Maybe they're seriously financially stressed. And you know, it was just that took it over the edge. Maybe it's they were in the middle of divorce, or you know, it could be anything, just something that was out of the ordinary that they could not control in their lives, that they, you know, it was just they were just so uptight. And you know, without God in my life, without Him a part of my life, you know, I wouldn't be able to control my anger either. I wouldn't be able to deal with my anger. First of all, this morning, I want to look at Cain and Abel. And you turn to Genesis chapter 4 for that. Very familiar story. We're not going to read a lot of it, but we're going to just look at a few things here. And Genesis chapter 4. We have Cain and Abel being born to Adam and Eve. And God required a sacrifice. And we know this, how Cain, how Abel brought of the firstling of his flocks. And Cain had brought the of the fruit of the ground. And God's response to that. And we're just going to read that. Going to break in verse 4 of chapter 4. And Abel, he also brought. Okay, let's back up to verse 2, sorry. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Thou doest well. Shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Cain allowed anger to sizzle in the bottom of his heart, to sit there and to ferment, to sit there as he thought. I believe the more that Cain thought about his brother and God's acceptance of his offering and the lack of acceptance of his offering, he just thought about this, and he left it roll over and over and over. And the longer he thought about it, the angrier he became. And as he thought about that, finally Cain became in the road of his peace. Cain suddenly was in the, without Cain out of the road, he couldn't have peace. That's where he got to. He said he gave himself right to kill his own brother because he could not. Cain was in the road of his own peace. God gave Cain a chance to make his wrong right. He said, he went and the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And he says, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He's saying, Cain, make it right. Like, turn around. Make your wrong right. Don't become angry. Cain refused to do that. But when Cain became in the road of, when Abel became in the road of Cain's peace, then Cain felt right to do harm to his brother. He felt right to kill his brother. He even went to the process of trying to cover it up. And that's what anger, Cain knew what he did, and he knew it was wrong. I don't know that he fully consciously realized that when he came to the point of doing that, but after it happened, he knew it was wrong. He knew what he did was wrong. And he made an effort to cover it up. Anger does not allow us to see a situation clearly. Uncontrolled anger is something that will not allow us to take all the facts into play, to look at something clearly and realistically. We will always have a distorted view in our minds when we become violently angry like that. When we become angered, one of the things that Cain did here was he allowed that anger to fester in his heart. He allowed it to just sit there and fester. And after a while, he got to the point he did, where he was able to kill his brother. Had he taken care of it? Do not let the sun go down upon thy wrath. In other words, don't become angry. Do not become angry. Make it right. Clear it up. There's times in our lives that we will express the emotion of anger. And in a wrong way. Because we are simply human. But we need to make it right. We need to clear it up. Cain blamed someone else for his personal problem. Do you ever do that? Do you ever blame other people for your lack of peace? Do you ever blame other people for your lack of acceptance, for your lack of for your problem? It's something we all face. Also, turn over to Numbers chapter 20. And I have a hard time blaming this man for getting angry. But God did not look at it lightly, and it cost him greatly. We have the man Moses here. And we have him hitting the rock. It says, we have the children of Israel here murmuring because they were not having water. Murmuring again. They simply were starting into this whole thing again. And Moses, let's just start in there and read it. And there was no water, verse 2, for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chided with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why had ye brought us up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And therefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their face. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, behold, ye believe me not to satisfy me with the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. God was not pleased with Moses. Moses was, this was only one of the many times that they began to fret and complain. And you know, I believe Moses was just, Holson had enough. And he just vented it out on the rock. Did he do something so terribly wrong? Did he hurt someone else? No, he didn't. But yes, he did. He flatly disobeyed the command of God. In his frustration, in his anger, because, you know, Moses went to God again and again. And we find it here. He went to God and he said, God, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, there is no water out here. I'm thirsty too. I mean, he was as thirsty as anybody else was. It wasn't really that, you know, he was getting water and nobody else was. And, but he went to God. And God said, you know, here's your answer. Go speak to this rock. And it wasn't like, you know, God, you know, only answered sometimes and, you know, he really didn't really care. You know, it was a few times here and there. But no, every time God gave Moses direction on what he was supposed to do and what where he was supposed to go and how he was supposed to do it. And but sometimes in our lives we can allow things, maybe it's frustrations of bad relationships. Maybe it's frustrations in your marriage, in your home, with siblings, with... We allow it to just sit in there and fester and become... We become frustrated with it. We become maybe a bit angry with it. And you know, eventually, if we allow that to continue to stay there, undealt with, it will find its way out in one way or another. It will find its way to other people and will hurt other people, maybe in an outburst of words of anger. It can come out in so many ways. Here with Moses, it came out in a hitting of the rock instead of talking to it. He was supposed to speak to that rock, but he used that rod to hit that rock twice. It never works to step out of our place in life to prove a point. It never works to step out of our place in life to prove a point. You know, Moses, I believe here, he said, "Listen, you rebels, you know, must I give you water out of this rock?" He was angry with them, and he stepped out of his place. Simply to, one last jab, you realize how you're acting. Like, have a little water now. Turn also to Numbers chapter 22, a couple chapters later. We have the story of Balaam. And we won't take the time to read much of that here. Let's just break in at verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning. Balaam decided he's going to go. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for the adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with his staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Balaam was angry. And it was simply God trying to stop him. It was simply God standing in the road. Do I become angry when situations don't work out the way I have planned them to work out? Maybe relationships don't work out the way I thought it should work out. Maybe your job isn't working out. Maybe your marriage is in struggles. Maybe it can be a lot of things. and we become angry. Maybe God puts things in our life that helps us to look at things realistically, and we become angry at those things because of the frustration in our lives. We lash out at other people. We lash out at situations rather than looking at them and saying, what does God want me to learn in this? Because if we truly believe that God has led me into every situation that I am in, if we feel God has led us, then God had a purpose for it. Maybe it isn't working out. Maybe it's not the best situation. But somehow God allowed it for a purpose. What do we do with obstacles that come into our path? I'm just going to flip back to Philippians chapter 4 real quick here. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. Say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to come back to. That's where we need to rest in the peace of God. We need to go to God and bring our things before Him and allow Him to teach us. Next one we'd like to look at is in 1 Kings chapter 21. We have here the story of King Ahab. And we have King Ahab wanting a vineyard that was next to his palace. It was a good vineyard. It was one that was well kept. It was right, and he wanted it. And King Ahab was a man who was a very selfish man. He's a man who liked to control people. People did what he wanted. And he met this man, Naboth, that owned this vineyard. And he couldn't get this man to do what he wanted. So what was Ahab's response to this? Verse 1 of chapter 21. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. In other words, I'll be totally fair about this. I'm not going to rip you off. I'm not going to do anything. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. We're going to stop there for a little bit. He simply sulked because he couldn't get his own way. We say, how childish, how silly is that to simply sulk because I didn't get my own way, you know? But the reality of it is Ahab didn't really care what God thought. Ahab didn't care anything about what God thought about this. He wanted it, and he wanted it now. And because it didn't work out, listen to what Naboth said, the Lord forbid it.
It was to stay in the family. He was simply obeying a commandment of God. And he gave Ahab that reason. He didn't say, I'm not going to sell you your vineyard. I'm not going to sell you this vineyard. I want it for myself. He said, God forbid it. I can't. I'm obeying God. But his response to that was sulking, becoming angry and sulking because of it. Now, we have a different response here of a woman. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give it thee my vineyard. He didn't answer her honestly. Because Naboth said, God forbid it. So he wasn't really looking at this thing realistically. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou know? Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And she goes on to make a plot to have, and succeeds, making a plot to kill Naboth, get him out of the way, get rid of him, so we can go on and have our way. She was willing to, you talk about violent anger. Simply to, now suppose this morning that Ahab would have looked at it more, a little more realistically and weigh God, you know, God forbid it, and thought about that. And listened to what Naboth, what if the story read differently? Jezebel was a very wicked woman. And she became angry for her husband's sake. You know, are we sulking because, am I sulking because I didn't get my own way? I didn't get what I deserve. Maybe you feel like you do deserve something. Maybe you feel like, I kind of deserve this. Getting angry will not fix any situation. Aggressive anger will only make a situation a lot worse. We also have in the story of Esther and the man named Haman, his plot to kill all the Jews. Why was that? It was simply because one man wouldn't bow down to him, and he became angry about that. One man wouldn't obey, wouldn't show him obeisance, and he became angry. And what did he do? He gave right to hurt not only Mordecai, but hurt many, many people. And that's what anger does. Anger that festers in the life of a person will simply sit there and fester and fester. And you hurt not only the person that you became angry at, but you hurt so many more people. And you simply continue to hurt people. You give yourself right. It's okay to hurt them because they've hurt me. And you take it out on other people, such as road rage. You know, cutting somebody off, being cut off on the road. Well, what's that? Not real much to fly off the handle about. But it was simply the straw. And you go through life so tense that it only takes a little something for someone to break that straw. And you know you're angry at the next person. We have the story of Esau and Jacob. And there, We know the story well, where Esau said, I'm just going to turn back here and read a verse in Genesis chapter 27. This was after everything, and their father was about to pass off the scenes of time. And he says in verse, in verse 41 of chapter 27, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. He was planning his own brother's death. He said, just wait. Once my father is gone, then I will take revenge on him. You know, an angry person is always looking to get even, is always looking for a way to take out his anger on something or someone. Anger is known to be the leading cause of all kinds of heart trouble and strokes. And why? Because it does something to you. Violent anger, that kind of anger does something to you. It shortens your life. We also have the story of Absalom and David. Or Absalom, David's favorite son. Well, he had a half-sister, Tamar, and a half-brother, Amnon. And Amnon raped Absalom's sister, and Absalom was enraged. And we have Absalom wanting to kill because of it. He was so angry he wanted to kill. Why is the death rate of America so high? Why is the death rate of the world so high? I believe it's because of anger. People not being able to deal with their own selves, with situations. And why is that? I believe it's simply because of a lack of God. In our churches, in our world, it's simply a lack of God in a personal life. We need to learn to control ourselves. We need to learn to control our anger. It's stonewalling in a relationship considered anger? Do you ever hit somebody? Do you ever abuse somebody? There's all kinds of things that go on today that God is not pleased with. And sad to say that many of these things, some of these things, are even within our benches. We don't have to shoot people to be an angry person. We don't have to kill somebody to be an angry person. Anger can vent itself in so many ways. I believe stonewalling is a form of anger. That's a form of proving a point. If you're going to act that way, I won't talk to you. I won't talk to you for, 2 days. I won't call you. Whatever it is. We can't act that way because God has made us creatures of communication. He has made us creatures of that are meant to relate to each other. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. The discretion of a man deferreth anger. In other words, think through, rationalize it. Think through what you're doing. Think through how to relate to a situation before you just outburst in anger. You earn respect that way. Luke 6, verse 31 says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, treat other people how you would want to be treated. You have a choice in every situation, even though sometimes in life it seems like you may have no choice. We have a choice to make. You have a choice to become angry or to deal with it. Control your anger. Remember, so go back to think about that anger is one of the things that you know, controlled anger is one of the things that motivates you in your life to do something about a situation or about, it can be anything, just your motivating factor. Another thing we need to do is don't let feelings control you. Don't let your feelings control you. And that happens more with some than others, personalities. But don't let your feelings control you. Feelings are fickle. Feelings will change. When you can stop and you can simply go back and look at the facts, you can look at stuff a lot more clearly and have a lot better picture of how the situation should or will play out if you can simply step back and look at the facts. Another thing that we need to do is we need to pray. Without prayer, without God, nothing is possible. And we need to come to grips with that. That if I'm going to control my anger, if I'm going to control my life, then I need God. And if you want God, then you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray to God. You're going to have to talk to Him. How can a friendship continue if you don't talk? It don't. That's the problem. Also, we need to forgive. Forgiveness is a vital part in the process of relating to anger. We need to forgive. We need to simply stop, and we need to forgive it. Let it go. Let it get it off your shoulders and put it on God's shoulders. And lastly, we need to love. And love does not happen without forgiveness. You need to forgive, and the love will follow. Love will come if true forgiveness is extended. Love will be there if true forgiveness is extended. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do for someone you are angry at is simply stop and pray for them. Stop and pray for them. And forgive them. And, you know, love will be there. I challenge us with that this morning.